you know, get really attached to being with you. So it's wonderful to be with you on another Sunday morning. This morning, oh, by the way, one of your members, who shall remain nameless for their protection, mentioned to me, or mentioned in my presence, that my sermons aren't as long as Bud's. And I was going the other direction. I was thinking, I preach too long. This is really bad. So I was trying to get shorter, but today, I won't tell you who, but just sit down and relax, because we're gonna get done. We'll be here until we're done. So please just, this is a subject that is important to each one of us. You know, when you're in trouble, when your spirit is so distressed, and you think, when this is over, I'm going to sit down and spend time with the Lord. When this is over, I'm going to spend some time with my daughter. When this is over, I'm going to work, you know, just when I can't think right now. When it's over, I'm going to sit down and really think this through. Our text this morning says, it's during that time when you are so distressed, you are just squeezed. You're just this much away from not being able to take it. That is where the Holy Spirit is working with you. But it is still a two-prong. There's now and there's later. There used to be a candy like that. Do they still sell it? Yeah. Now and later. There's something there for you now, and there's something there for you later. It's not after it's all done. Please think with me and let the Holy Spirit search your heart today, because we all know what it's like to be just this far away from it all being over. In Luke 3, John the Baptist, quoting Isaiah, said that every valley will be filled in and every mountain made low. Matthew records the content of today's Luke sermon. Jesus is sitting on a mountain and he's teaching. The same content, well, maybe like a third or a half of the content, is here where Luke has Jesus on the plain, a level place. And it's the same content. You know that when I speak to you, I say the same thing twice. I can't stop myself. Teachers and speakers, they say the same thing over and over. So it could be that Jesus gave the same talk twice, or it could be this. He had something he wanted to say. You know, preachers only have one sermon, really. Sometimes they have two, but mostly they just say it until you say thanks a lot, and then they go. There's just, Jesus said the same thing. So we don't know whether it was twice, but whatever it is, it's the same content. And Luke reports him standing in a level place. It's just an image. It might be meaningful, it might not be meaningful, but Jesus is standing in a level place without any hype, without any excitement, without any special strobe lights flashing. He's in a level place, and he's speaking to us this morning. Power was coming out of Christ, and he was healing those who were gathered. Now, this is the mystery. Jesus spent 3.5 years, 3 1/3 years, He went to people that were suffering. He healed those people that were sick. He straightened the legs. He opened the eyes. He did all these things that we think would change a person's life. He did that for 3.5 years. Crowds were there. And yet when we read history, we don't really see that Israel was significantly different after all of these healings had happened. I just find that remarkable. It seems that with human life, human communities, it's almost like the ocean and the tides. You can do all the good you want, But still, there's another day where it has to start all over again. You would think that there would be a generational change, a nationally marked healing and wholeness. Wow, 2025 was a year of healing and hope. But the life just goes. Jesus healed all these people, says throngs of them. Perhaps it may be that God starts all over again with every person who's born. We're meant to hear and obey God. And it's just one notch before impossible to hear God and give up our notions of the good life that would be natural and normal and that we deserve, and to live with grace in a world that God has created and allowed to be a certain way. It's just not the way that we would do it if we were making a world. As everyone was trying to have what was wrong with them fixed, Jesus taught them about the long-term blessings of being hungry, despised. And as with the other reading for today in Jeremiah and Psalm and 1 Corinthians, Jesus is teaching that there is a now and there is a later. Although rightly maligned as pie in the sky to keep the peasants happy, keep them from revolting, the resurrection and the continuing life to come are part of Jesus's understanding of righteousness and justice. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Not just hope now, but there's a hope for later as well. Well fed and comfortable as I am, it is very hard for me to say this, but this is what the scriptures teach. And the rich man and Lazarus, which Eloise has so eloquently presented to us, shows the later part of our hope. It may be that many Christians in wealthy countries want to focus on working for justice now, for reparations now, and are agnostic about the life to come. But today, and in whatever days to come, while we are still on earth, we must, however tentatively or boldly, live in the kingdom of God. And this is the teaching of the resurrection of Christ and the kingdom to come. The careless wealthy may be overturned in this life. You know, and these little tricky numbers, you know, I don't think it's really meaningful, but it's just interesting that that theme is in Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. So you only have to remember two numbers. In either one you look up, it'll be the right one. Or they may be, the careless wealthy may be untouched right until their life on a $3,000, $40,000 mattress in a $1 million home with people scurrying around trying to keep them happy. They might die that way. Or their lives may be overturned. We don't know these things. Yet, God's justice will be accomplished. This is faith. Do not give up hungering and thirsting for God in all circumstances and living in the kingdom. Yes, there is a reward to come. And in the meantime, and in preparation for the life to come, for the continuation of this life, Jesus tells us of spiritual formation. Jesus said that it was hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God in Matthew 19 and Luke 18. The disciples were, what? Who has a better chance of becoming a spiritual adept than the person who has more resources, who has better conditions around them, who has a quiet room in their home, so that they have the flexibility to choose what is placed around them, how to spend their time, how to wear tasteful clothing and quiet organic cotton. Who better than the rich to inherit the kingdom? What? This cannot be. They were just shocked when Jesus said that. Why wouldn't the rich, the well-fed, the laughing and carefree, the respected people be able to find the time and energy to pursue spiritual goals? Christ tells us, however, that the conditions for spiritual growth are poverty, hunger, weeping, being hated, being excluded, being insulted, and being rejected. It isn't just that the scales will be righted in the world to come, but that these very conditions will create in us a heart that is in tune with God's will. Now, that's what the conquistadors told the people of Latin America, right? Put the bleeding Christ on a cross in every cathedral in Latin America. Suffer in the will of God. It's a dangerous doctrine. The pastor counsels the battered woman, it's God's will that you suffer with grace and humility, and thus the Christ will be with you. The spiritual principle is used every day to manipulate and preserve the dominance and comfort of the rich, the powerful, the comfortable. You know, and in medieval Europe, you give alms to the poor and you say, pray for me, because you believe that the prayers of the poor have special efficacy. So you kind of know God's ears are open to the poor. So you give alms and you say, pray for me, and you get benefit back from the alms. Which page? This spiritual principle is used every day in telling those who are suffering to be happy, because suffering brings growth and strength. This spiritual principle is used internally in our own hearts to defeat ourselves. Oh, well, it's the poor in spirit who will inherit the kingdom. I don't really have to try to do, you know, I don't have to take this world and this body and these things that God gave me and do something with it. It's right that I'll never amount to anything. You know, we can just twist everything good, can't we? Christians use the idea of discrimination also to explain every fault and failure as an offense against Christ. That woman doesn't like me because I'm a Christian, therefore she shuns me. No, you just have an abrasive personality. You know, we really can take what we're looking at is true, but it can be twisted. Why did Jesus give this teaching? He saw life as it was, not as it should be, as it will be, as it ought to be. Certainly, he saw a vision of what it could be and will be, but he saw what it was. Now, as you know, membership gym is for people who don't get a workout in their daily duties. Okay? If you're a servant hauling coal for your master, you're not going to get a membership in the Y. You sleep well at night. A wilderness camp is for young people who never face danger, who don't know anything about nature, and who never cooperate with anybody in real life. Lamaze training is for when the experience comes, not for its own sake. Do you understand that? You can be a star in the Lamaze class, but that's nothing. You understand that? Many people abandon the breathing method very early in labor. There is no prize for mastering the Lamaze method. Oh, do you guys, is that old fashioned? It's a breathing so that you're supposed to be able to get through birth without taking medicine, drugs. It's to control your breathing. And if you are one of the world's best athletes, I expect it would really help you a lot. There is no prize for mastering the Lamaze method, but there is only the joy of a child come into the world, ready or not. Our lives here unlike what we thought as a child, are not meant to be a promise of lovely experiences and relationships, and everything other than that is just so unfair. Our lives here are of joy within uncertainty and suffering. We can't untangle the beauty of God's image in us from how it has become twisted in ourselves and others. We can't tell what's fruitful and what's a dead end. Spiritual life is keeping a focus on God while learning to respond to all of life, especially the suffering, with a lightness of heart and anticipation of God's work within it. With all the misuses and misunderstandings that are possible with Christ's teaching, the chosen of God are not the rich and powerful, the comfortable, the well-regarded, the entertained. The chosen of God are the poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, the hated, the excluded, the insulted, and those whose name is rejected as evil. For Christ himself was such and lives within his companions. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.